Chapter 21. I was covered in darkness, suffocating. I could barely move my arms and legs under all the weight. I'd faced death before, fought my enemies, beat them with cunning and steel. But now I was in the fight of my life against the elements. My foe was vast and undeterred. The very earth itself. I tried to scream again, but the dirt choked off my words. I had undone myself. I thought of my father. I wondered how long it would take him to realize I was gone forever. Even worse, I had failed him altogether. I would die of shame, without honor, failing my charge. No! I could not let that happen. I had to hang on. I just had to. I took one last gasp and counted. One. Five. 11, 20, 30, 60. It seemed this was it. None could save me. My face must be turning purple now. Goodbye, Nelson Bohr. I wasn't sure if I heard that or not. I felt myself being pulled from my grave. I could hear. It was Brenwar. Or someone that sounded very much like him. He said, putting the weight of the world on my chest. I felt that. Hunks of dirt flew from my mouth as I spat, rolling back and forth on the ground. I coughed and hacked until my face became numb. I'm alive. I managed to wipe the dirt from my eyes. The sunlight was, well, like sunlight on my face. But it never felt so good before. The next thing, I saw Brenwar, his bulging arm outstretched, helping me to my feet.
I hope you found what you were looking for,
he said.
And I think we're even. Well, I'm pretty sure I'm still ahead, that is.
I shook the dirt out of my hair. Fang was still in his sheath. Thank goodness I had not lost him. I slung my pack from my back and reached inside. The orb was still secure.
Well, if I died, I would have expected you to use this to free the Blue Razor.
I managed to smile. Thank you, Brenwar.
It's nothing.
He stepped back as I opened my arms wide.
Stop that, dragon. I said stop!
I picked Brenwar up off his feet, hugged him like a bear, and swung him around. I felt joy. The joy of being alive. The joy of being able to fight for the cause of good once more. Being an adventurer, a hero, someone that does right instead of wrong doesn't mean you won't be put in the thick of danger. If anything, you'll find yourself in the middle.
Put me down, Nath Dragon.
I dropped him.
Sorry. I couldn't contain myself.
You ever do that again?
He shook his fist at me.
And I'll kill you myself.
I know. But right now I'm so happy to be alive I don't care.
Here. I extended my arm. We bumped forearms, inside, then out.
Better?
Better.
I held out the stone, letting Brenwar take a closer look.
What do you think?
Dwarfen made, definitely.
I shook my head, but I wasn't going to disagree with the person who just saved my life. I'd do that later.
Seems we have plenty of time to make it back, but I still don't understand why Korzan didn't think he could handle that. A magic user, even one not so powerful, should have been able to outwit a horde of ghouls. And the trap? A well-prepared magic user could handle that as well. Not much of a guardian, if you ask me. At least, not to protect a thunderstone.
Brenwar stretched his short limbs and yawned.
What? I was paralyzed, you know.
How's the wound? I said, looking at the ghoul's bite.
Wound? That's not a wound.
Bryn Mawr scoffed.
Now let's get going down the mountain. I've had enough of these ghouls, tombs, and fluffy caterpillars.
I raked the dirt from my hair and dusted off my clothes. I must look terrible.
Say, where'd all the caterpillars go? They usually stick around for hours.
Who cares?
Bryn Mawr said, stomping away. Not a blotch of pink, blue, yellow, or purple remained. I actually enjoyed watching them walk around on their tiny little feet, but their job was far from over. The ghouls lay dead, some covered, some not. The caterpillars never left their work until it was finished, unless there was danger.
Bryn Mawr, something's wrong.
I could feel the hair on my chin tingling when a black shadow blotted out the entire sun. A heavy wind stirred about me.
You got that right,
Bryn Mawr said, eyes up, jaw down. Oh, no. There it was. Big. Monster big. Perhaps this was the guardian Korzan spoke about. Clearly, it was not something he could deal with.
That's one big dragon,
Bryn Mawr said. The dragon blotted out the sun as it loomed over us like a gargantuan bird of prey. His steel scales were like hammered metal. His nostrils flared with open fire. His claws were bigger and sharper than the deadliest spears. His horns, one broken, were as long as me. His tail was like a great serpent, swishing back and forth, shattering tombstones like twigs. Perhaps this was what I'd seen in the moonlight the night before. It had been so distant then. I backed away. He snorted. His hot breath was like a furnace. His eyes, ancient as the stones, bore down on me like I was an insect as he approached. My father was far bigger, but I was used to him. This dragon was bigger than most I encountered. Much bigger. Bigger than rhinos, elephants, or a team of horses. I drew my blade and swung it in front of me. The dragon didn't blink. I was scared.
Nath,
Bryn Mawr said.
What do we do?
I didn't have an answer to that question. In most cases, I rescued dragons. I didn't confront them. Even in my youth, the dragons avoided me, both inside and outside the Mountain of Doom, or Dragon Home. It was lonely. That much I easily remembered. Being born of dragons, but still not one of them. Oh, I still had dragon friends. Not many. And family. Too many. But over time, we'd gone our separate ways. I'd even had dragon teachers, too. But none of them prepared me for this. Not even my father, I think. I raised my arm up. His teeth snapped together in a clashing chomp. It could have taken my arm off. I moved away. But he cut off my path with a massive head that swung from one side to the other. I wasn't going anywhere. Not if he didn't want me to, that is.
Just stay back, Bryn Mawr. I'm not sure if he's for us or against us.
I usually was big, fast, and strong, but not with this one. Right now, I was little more than a meal, shiny toothpick included. I mustered my courage, or what was left anyway. The truth was I wanted to run for it, but instead I locked with his gaze. Inside I was trembling like a leaf. Before me, a steel dragon, a fighter, a warrior, a soldier. I could tell by the scars on his body and the tears in his wings. A remnant of the great dragon war. He had to be. Yet there was another remarkable thing. The markings. Bright spots. Green, orange, and yellow mixed with blue adorned his frame. A glow with what looked to be arcane symbols. I'd never seen a dragon marked in such a way before. Perhaps he was enslaved. Or cursed. Arms up, sword pointed down, I displayed the sign of surrender, trying to back away. I wasn't about to strike if he didn't strike first. I felt his tongue whip past my cheek and then back again.
What do you want me to do, dragon?
Brenmar said, tucked behind a tombstone.
Be still.
I stopped. I couldn't just back down. All I needed to do was get back off this mountain. He came closer, massive head inches from my face, his hot breath ruffling my auburn hair. I opened my mouth to speak. He bumped me with his snout, knocking me to the ground like a toddler. I was in trouble now. He pinned me to the ground with his nose.
Dragon!
Be still, Brenmar.
Now, I could stab the dragon. Maybe put out his eye or scar his nose. They didn't like to be hit in the nose or poked in the eye, for that matter. But that tends to make one mad. And I've told you before about dragon breath. Small dragons don't hold that much. But a big steel dragon like this, well, it could turn the entire mountaintop to flame. I put my dragon hand on top of his nose. Peace and home, I said. You may have been wondering whether or not I can speak Dragonese. After all, I am a dragon, and I should be able to speak Dragonese. And I can. But just because I can speak to them doesn't mean they will speak to me. I was a very talkative and lonely boy growing up, but sometimes a speaking dragon gave me more than I wanted. When they did talk, it might take hours or days. And right now I didn't have time for a long conversation. But I said it again, in Dragonese anyway.
Peace and home.
He snorted hot smoke, keeping the pressure on my chest. Now it was time to worry. Not that I wasn't already. Dragons were like most people. Sometimes it was very difficult to tell if they were good or evil. This dragon so far was not giving me the friendly vibes that I was hoping for. The more pressure and uncertainty rose within me, the more I wanted to strike. For all I knew, his mind was battle-damaged. His connection to his own kind lost. His eyes were heavy on me. Any wrong moves and he was going to incinerate me. I tried to keep perfectly still.
Peace and home.
Who are you?
He spoke. It was a jolt rocking my mind. Not vocal, mental. This was good.
The son of Dragon Home, I said.
Smell like a dragon. Another wizard come to deceive me.
It pushed me across the grass.
No, not a wizard, a dragon. Son of Halt's.
The dragon reared up on his legs with a roar so loud it shook the very mountaintop.
Renoir,
I yelled.
What did you hit him for?
The dragon filled his lungs with a big gust of air, and all I could think of was run!